This is the sixth tape in the series of for Machen's book, New Testament Greek for Beginners. The last tape concluded with the material in Lesson 15, exclusive of the exercises, the Greek to English exercise. So let us begin at that point. It's on page 90, section 195. Number one. Kai eidamen ton kurion, kai ekousamen tous lagus autou. Notice in this sentence the kai combination before two verbs, obviously then meaning both and. Number two, ude gar eis eilthes, eis tous oikus auton, ude epes autois parabalein. In this sentence, you will note the ude combination, once again before verbs, to mean neither nor. Please pay note also that the gar does not affect that relationship of ude and eis eilthes, because gar is a postpositive word. Number three. En ekene te hora, agenanta mathetai tu kuriu. In this particular case, mathetai is nominative, but it is not the subject because agenanta, which is from ginomai, takes the predicate nominative. Number four, hutoi men agenanta mathetai agathoi, ekenoi de ete eisan paneroi. You have to pay attention to the cases in this sentence as well, because you have agenanta from ginomai, which takes the nominative, predicate nominative, plus in the second clause you have eisan, which is from eimi, which also takes the predicate nominative. So there are a lot of nominatives in the sentence. Some belong to the subject and others belong to the predicate. Number five, pros epheron auto tus tuflus. This verb is obviously the imperfect of prospero. Number six, epeson ek tu uranu hoi angeloi hoi paneroi. Remember that the sentences in Greek are not based on word order, but word form. Therefore, even though hoi angeloi, hoi paneroi are at the end of the sentence, they constitute the subject. Number seven. Ta men daimonia exibalite, ta de techna etherapusate. In this particular case, ta daimonia and ta techna are not the subjects, even though they do stand first in their clauses, because the verbs in both of the clauses are second person plural. And you may recall that I stated that you can never have anything but a third person of the verb when you have a noun subject expressed. So ta daimonia and ta techna are direct objects. Number eight. Tus men panerus sune gagete humes, eis tus oikus humon, tus de agathus hemes. In this particular sentence, you will note that humes is the subject. Anytime you have a first or second person of the pronoun in a clause, that is going to be the subject of the sentence, that is if it's nominative, obviously. And so you know that tus panerus, even though occurring first, cannot be the subject, in addition, of course, because it's accusative. It's more clearly accusative than, say, ta daimonia. But you know that that is the direct object and humes is the subject. In the second clause, you'll note that you don't have a verb, but you do have tus agathus, accusative, and hemes, which is nominative. Therefore, hemes the subject, tous agathous is accusative, and the verb is then understood. Number 9. Uk ekeruxas ta euangelion en te ekklesia ude gar egenu mathetes. In the second clause, observe that mathetes is nominative, but it is not the subject. Ginomai takes a predicate nominative from which egenu comes, and then in addition, egenu is second person singular. Therefore, any time you have a verb that's either first or second person, either singular or plural, you cannot have a noun subject expressed. Number 10. Nun men legate lagus agathus. Epon de hutoi tus autus lagus, kai en tais hemerais ekenais. Number of things in this particular sentence. You have the attributive position of the adjective agathus, and you know it's attributive position because of context, even though the article does not appear. Then you also have hutoi, which is the substantive use of the demonstrative pronoun, and you know that it will never be used with the article. You have autus standing in the attributive position, and I have repeated many times that autas, any form of autas in the attributive position, will always have the meaning same. And then, of course, the phrase, prepositional phrase, en tais hemerais ekenais, once again, ekenais, the demonstrative pronoun standing in the predicate position, and if used with the noun must have the article. Number 11. Epistusamen eistan kurion. Hoi gar mathetai egigan hemas pras auton. Number 12. Tauta men apon humin en to hiero akena de upo lego. In this particular case, tauta and akena are direct objects. And probably, I would imagine in this particular sentence, since you have one men and de, a contrasting kind of an idea, the apon here should be considered as a first person singular rather than a third person plural because of the lego in the second clause. That's an instance where, though you cannot tell by the form whether apon is first person singular or third person plural, the context of the sentence requires first person singular. Number 13. Tate men es eothete es ten ekklesion en akene de te himera es eliuseste es ton uranan. Now, he hasn't used too many futures of the verb eliusamai in this lesson, or even in the previous one, probably, I don't remember right now, excuse me, but you'll notice that eis eothete and eis eliuseste come from the same verb, from eis erchomai. Eis eothete, second person, plural of the second aorist active, and eis eliusestai, the future of the word, and is deponent. Eis eothete is not deponent. Eis eliuseste is deponent. Number 14. Tate apsamatha ton kurion en te doxe autu epistusamen gar eis auton. Apsamatha, the future of blepo, epistusamen, the first aorist of pistuo. Apsamatha, of course, being a deponent verb. Number 15. Ha men kurias ex eothe tate ek tu kasmu hoi de mathetai autu ete menusin en auto. Number 16. Tautas tas entelas eldaban pa tu kuriu amen gar mathetes autu. Tautas tas entelas, of course, being in the accusative case, therefore, the direct object, even though they do stand first. Eleban then has to be the has to be either first person singular or third person plural. But since tau tas tas and talas is accusative, you can't look there for the subject. And since the second clause is a main, which is first person singular, eleban is no doubt the first person singular, not third person plural. Number 17. Tate men parelabete ten epangleon para tu kriu. Nun de kai kerusita, kerusita autain en to kosmo. Nothing in particular in this verse, apart from perhaps noticing that kai in this instance does not refer to a conjunction, but is the ascensive use of kai, meaning also or even. Number 18. Eilthete prastan kurion kai parelabete par autu tauta. This sentence, there are of course two verbs, eilthete, the second aorist of erhmai, and parelabete, the second aorist of paralambano, both second person plural. Number 19. Sunegagen hemas autas eisten ekklesion autu. Here you have the autas in the nominative case, so obviously it's got to be connected with the subject in somehow. In some way, and since this verb sunega again is not a sentence or not a verb that takes a predicate nominative, then autas has got to be, as I say, connected with the subject, and therefore, as you know, it intensifies. The autu is just the simple use of the pronoun that we have seen so many times. Sunega again, of course, second aorist, indicative, active indicative from sunago. Number 20. Adon hoi anthropoi tan huyan tu the u. Agenita par, agenita gar autas anthropas kai emenen en tuto to cosmo. Adon, the second aorist of blepo, and hoi anthropoi is the subject, as you would see. And then the Agenita, taking the predicate nominative, and you have a couple of nominatives following, autas and anthropos. In this instance, however, the autas is the intensifier with the unexpressed subject in the verb, and anthropos is nominative because it is the in the predicate nominative. And so it would read then, for he himself became a man. Eminen is the imperfect of meno, as you see. Then, if you'll turn to page 92, lesson 16, the aorist passive indicative and the future passive indicative. You will recall that in the future and aorist tenses, the passive is different in form from the middle. So the aorist passive is different from the aorist middle, and the future passive is different from the future middle. In the present and imperfect tenses, the middle and passive are identical in form, and context is what determines how the word is to be translated. With the passive, however, that's not the case. The aorist and future passives are quite different from the aorist and future middles. Another thing that perhaps you you'll see the reason for it as you work through the lesson, but notice that the aorist passive indicative is listed before the future passive indicative, whereas as we're working through the lessons, the future preceded the aorist in the process of understanding or learning what these tenses were all about. The reason for the aorist passive indicative preceding the future passive indicative in the title of the lesson is because the future passive indicative is built on the aorist passive stem. Once again, it's the future passive indicative built on the aorist passive stem, and that's the reason why in the lesson title it precedes. So let's look then at the vocabulary. You have a new vocabulary word meaning I take up, is analambano. on a lambano. We've seen lambano in para lambano before, so this word does occur in compound forms rather frequently. Ana, the preposition ana, does convey the basic concept of up, and so in this case then, ana lambano means to take up. You may recall that you cannot, in every verb form, predict what the preposition is going to do when it is added to the verb, but in some cases it's quite obvious. Then the aorist passive of a word that you've already had, balo, meaning I was thrown, I was cast, is eblaithane. Eblaithane. This particular word, you have not learned the future principal part of balo because it has some things that you have yet to learn about its formation. So that the principal parts then of this word that you will have had up to this point, including lesson 16, are balo, then the aorist is ebbalon, the aorist passive principal part is eblaithane. This means then that you will have had the first, third, and sixth principal parts of balo. The form ginamai of the aorist passive is egganathane. Egganathane. You will have had all the principal parts of this word thus far, that is, of the lessons of the tenses we have studied, so that the first, second, third, and sixth principal parts are ginamai, genesamai, egganamein, egganathane. You'll observe also that in relationship to this word, egganamein means I became, egganathane means I became. So whether it's middle or passive of this form, it means I became. Excuse me. It means I became in both instances. It's deponent then all the way through, so that you do not try to translate the middle, aorist middle and the aorist passive differently, just simply I became. And just as ginamai in all the forms we've studied thus far takes a predicate nominative, so the aorist passive would take a predicate nominative as I say, be a deponent form of the verb. The aorist passive of ginosko is egnosthane. Egnosthane, meaning I was known. The principal parts that you had of this word are first, second, and sixth. The third principal part you will not know, learn for a while. So they are gnosko, gnosamai, egnosthane. The aorist passive of didasko is edidachthane. Edidachthane. The principal parts of this word that you've had are 1, 2, 3, and 6. So didasko, didaxo, edidaxa, and then this one, edidachthane. The aorist passive of keruso, ekeruchthane. Ekeruchthane. I was preached, I was proclaimed. You've had all the parts of this word, too, the principal parts. They are keruso, keruxo, ekeruxa, and ekeruchthane. The aorist passive of lambano, meaning I was taken, is elemphthane. Elemphthane. You've had all principal parts of this word, and they are lambano, lempsamai, eleban, and then the sixth, this one, elemphthane. Now, if you wanted to say, use the aorist passive of the form of ana lambano, then obviously you would take the form elemphthane, reattach the preposition ana, and you, in so doing, you would have to elide the alpha, and therefore the form, the aorist passive form of ana lambano is anelemphthane. You would do that with all compounds. You detach the preposition, find the principal part as far as the basic stem is concerned, and then reattach the preposition. If it is necessary, you will elide vowels to when that reattaching takes place. The next word, I went, is eparuthein. Eparuthein. Notice it says this is aorist passive in form, meaning that it is a deponent verb. Obviously, you can't put the verb to go or to come into a passive kind of framework. This is another example, like the word eganathein, where you have an aorist middle as well as an aorist passive, and both of them would mean essentially the same thing. So the principal parts of this word then are paruamai, parusamai, eparusamein, eparuthein. And eparusamein means I went, just as eparuthein means I went. The word, the aorist passive of agero, I was raised, is agerthein, agerthein. In this particular instance, you have only the first and the sixth principal parts, agero and agerthein. The aorist passive of akouo, I was heard, is akousthein, akousthein. You've had all of the parts of this word, principal parts that we've studied thus far. They are akouo, akouso, akousa, akousthein. Then the word, I was born, I was brought. I was born, of course, in the sense of not born into this world, but born in the sense of carried. The aorist passive of pharaoh is anechthein, anechthein. You've had the three principal parts of this word, not the second. That's an unusual, very unusual form, as all of them are, of pharaoh are. So you've had the first, the third, and the sixth. Pharaoh, einenka, in this one, einechthein. I was led, the aorist passive of ago, is eichthein, eichthein. Please notice, of course, the spelling of led, not L-E-A-D, but L-E-D. And you've had all the principal parts of this word. They are ago, axo, agagon, eichthein. Then the last word in the vocabulary, the aorist passive of blepo or harao. Please remember that in any principal parts that you give me, I will expect you to list the irregular forms, not the regular forms of blepo. So the irregular form of blepo, the aorist passive, is ophthein. Ophthein. This word, too, you've had all principal parts of the tenses we've studied. They are blepo, opsomai, adon, ophthein. As you can see, quite irregular verb form. Now, if you look over to page 93, section 201, you'll see the conjugation of the aorist passive indicative. The sign of the aorist passive stem, or the aorist passive tense, is the addition of a theta epsilon. The sign of the future that you've learned thus far, the sign of the future is the addition of the sigma to the verb stem. The sign of the first aorist is the addition of the sigma alpha to the verb stem. The sign of the second aorist is the change within the verb stem. In some cases, you may remember, it is only one letter, as bal in the present has two lambdas, bal in the second aorist has only one. Gin has the iota in the present, gen the epsilon in the second aorist. But in any case, the signs, you've got to begin to pay attention to these signs. The sign, of course, of the imperfect will be a present stem of the verb plus the augment, and that will always indicate to you an imperfect tense. But in any case, the sign of the aorist passive is the theta epsilon. However, in the indicative mood, that theta, or the epsilon, excuse me, is always lengthened to an eta, so you'll never see the epsilon appearing in the indicative. It will reappear in other moods, however, and that's why you must understand that the sign of the aorist passive is not theta eta, it is theta epsilon, but in the indicative, it is always lengthened to an eta. Since the aorist passive in the indicative is a, since the aorist passive, or excuse me, back up on that, since the aorist is a secondary tense and we're working with the indicative, you know then that the word, the form, will have an augment, because the sign of a secondary tense in the indicative mood is always going to be the addition of the augment. So the conjugation of the aorist passive indicative of luo is then eleuthein, eleuthes, eleuthei, eleuthemen, eleutheta, eleutheson. Without having read the lesson, you may not have noticed that the personal endings of the aorist passive indicative are nu, sigma, nothing, men, te, and son. In the book, Machen says that, or tells you that the nu, sigma, nothing, men, te, and nu or son are the active secondary tense endings, not the passive. The main sa ta methus then nta, these are your middle and passive secondary tense endings. So what you have here then in the aorist passive is the active endings appearing, active personal endings appearing, rather than the middle or passive secondary tense endings. That's an explanation of what's going on here, but the best way, of course, to know the paradigm is just simply eleuthein, eleuthes, eleuthei, eleuthemen, eleuthete, eleuthesan. As far as the accent is concerned, you'll note that the upsilon has the acute accent all the way through. Now, I said when I introduced this lesson that the future passive is built on the aorist passive stem. And you'll note on the bottom of page 93 the conjugation of the future passive. You'll see that the stem is the aorist passive stem, liu thay. Please recall that the sign of the aorist passive is the theta epsilon, and in the indicative, it is always lengthened, the epsilon is always lengthened to an eta. So you'll see liu thay occurring there. But since the future tense is not a secondary tense, but a primary tense, there is no augment. The augment is never considered part of the stem. So in this particular case, then, the future passive drops the augment, and you end up with just the luthei. The sign of the future is the sigma. And so once you have the stem, luthei, of a particular verb, then you add the sigma to that verb stem, of the future passive, of course, add the sigma to that verb stem, and then your middle and passive primary endings, which you know from the present indicative as well as the future middle indicative. They are amai, a, etai, amatha, estha, antai. So there's nothing new then as far as the conjugation of the future passive, other than the fact that it is built on the aorist passive stem, and then you add the sigma to that and add your middle and or passive primary endings. So you can take any verb which appears in the vocabulary section and make an aorist passive out of it, or a future passive. Let's just take, for example, agerthein. Agerthein. The aorist passive of agerthein would be agerthein, agerthes, agerthei, agerthemen, agerthete, agerthesan, after the pattern that you find in section 201. Let's say you wanted to make a future passive out of agerthein. Well, once again, the future, being a primary, not a secondary tense, does not have the augment. So you have to reduce that eta to its original vowel, which in this case is obviously the epsilon because it's from agero. So that the eta then reduces to an epsilon. Then you drop off the personal ending, which is the nu, and you end up with the stem being e-ger-thay. E-ger-thay, after the pattern of liu-thay. Add the sigma to egerthei, sigma, the sign of the future, and then your middle and or passive primary endings, amai. So the future passive indicative of egerthein then is egerthesamai, after the pattern of luthesamai. Then you begin to conjugate it, and it's eger these, eger thesetai, eger thesamatha, eger thesesta, and eger thesantai. So, as I say, any verb can be handled in the same way to make an aorist and a future passive out of them. You'll note on page 94, it's kind of a summary chart that he uses, that gives you there, of the verbs that we've studied thus far. Please note that all you have, of course, is the first person singular in each case. So, for example, the present active indicative of luo, you just have the first person singular and have five other forms to go along with that.